If you have a service sheet, you have seen that I titled this short devotion or reflection on this text as Fear God and Face the Enemy. Fear God and Face the Enemy. Certainly, the two things that are ruling our lives now, today, we have God and we have Satan. And so what do? As we are in between. When our God requires obedience, you see, and when the enemy is terrifying us, and so because even with all these things, God wants us to defeat our enemy. But there is no any way for us to do that if we are not fearing our God, if we are not obeying His words, if we are not living in the covenant, and His desire is for Him to enable us to be able to do that. His heart's always is not to accuse us, it's just to invite us that you trust, you believe. And this is what Elijah and Obadiah did. They were ordinary people, isn't it? Even Elijah in chapter 17, we didn't know much about him. He was just like an ordinary person, but what we discover, he was a man who was walking with his God. Even under the ground, even away from all the lights. And so and just suddenly, we here appears a great man of God. And so, and then he faced Ahab and said, as the Lord lives, the Lord before whom I stand, and or I stood, that was how I understood it. Because he prayed, and then he was charged to go and do that. And so he came to face these prophets. And then we see him here in chapter 17. Last time he came and he just started to prepare himself, like to face this man. He was prepared by God. So two things that stood out for us. He was cared for by God, as the Lord himself was looking after him. By being fed by ravens, you see, in isolations. And there God fed him and blessed him. And then also he was cared for by a widow in a community, a widow with her son. And so God is not limited in how he would look after us. We heard that last time. So we can fully trust him, that he cares and that he will meet us in our own needs. That was what happened. But God does not only want to meet our needs also, but we are instruments also in his hands. Instrument to use us for his glory, to vindicate his name. He wants us to lift his name high up and to bear witness to his holiness, to his greatness, to give him all the credit, because he's our creator and he has created us after his own image. And he has recreated us in Christ to bear his image, his goodness, his holiness, his love, his grace. And so that is what really he displayed, being reconciled with him and to be his children, to bear the DNA as children of God. And he has given us the means by which we can fulfill that role as children of God. You see, he has given us this. The blood of Jesus protects us and his Holy Spirit indwells. And dwells us, and his truth guides us in our worship, in our lives and worship and service as well. So now we have in this account that this man of God, he, as a result of the rebellious of people, and they wanted away from God, and God was to send judgment. God will not tolerate sin. If he is patient to judge, but that doesn't mean that he will never judge. And he is God who judges. And now in our final days, these last days, he sent his son, isn't it? That is what Hebrews teach us. In the past, God has spoken to us through prophets in various ways, but he is speaking to us in this day through his son, Jesus Christ. And so now the judgment is through Jesus. And now we are waiting for the final judgment. But now we have the window for those who didn't come to know Jesus, to surrender their life to Christ. We are in between two judgments now. And so the last judgment will be the final. So God, and even in the Old Testament, and then through the Old Testament, he is exercising his judgment, even in our days today. So I should qualify what I've just said. Even though we think he's not judging, he is judging also, even right now. but also he has given us the clue, and he has given us the revelation here that we will be protected even as he is judging the world. And so that is what we face. So what we have here, we have already in chapter 17 that there is no rain. Elijah prayed that it shouldn't rain as a punishment for the people, isn't it? You see, because they have departed from the Lord. And especially Ahab, this wicked king, he led people astray. Now, after a long time, we are told, verse 1 of chapter 18, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. You see, here the confrontation that God is now going to use. So these verses, 1 to 15, are preparation for Elijah to go to Ahab, you see, and to face him. And then now he will get into really battle with the prophets of Baal, isn't it? But what we have here, we have the prophets. We have insight into this prophet of God and Obadiah, this man who fears God. And so what has come on here? Elijah, man of God, stood before God, and God was directing him. And now we are told that the famine was severe in Samaria. And they have had summoned Obadiah. And Obadiah was in the charge of his palace. This man, Obadiah, so is a very humble man here. He is serving this wicked king. And yet the Bible says this man is a man who fears God. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. He was a devout believer in the Lord. And yet he is serving a wicked king. A believer serving a wicked king. Wow. And this man, we have more insight into who he is. And even in verses that follow, we are told that he said he feared the Lord from his youth. So Obadiah, this man who feared the Lord, now is going to face this challenge of doing something that really very challenging. As a servant of God who fears God, from his youth he's serving a role that we will find ourselves very difficult. But the good thing is that this role has been determined to him by the Lord himself. And so whenever we do something and it's determined to us by God, and so we can do it, isn't it? That is why he was able to serve this wicked man. Even what he did here, very dangerous, because this man, he was like killing the prophets of God. And yet this man, he will take upon himself to save God's people, the prophets of God. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and he divided them into two groups. See? He did that, this humble man. So God gave him all the strength and the insight how to do this. Just imagine if he is fearful, of course. Even when Elijah said to him, look, go and tell Ahab that I am here and I'm coming, he was so fearful. But why? Hang on a minute. Why he was not fearful that if Ahab and his wife, Jezebel, discovered that he hit 100 prophets, he would be killed, isn't it? And yet, because God was with him, he didn't send the fear, isn't it? I heard a guy yesterday, he was saying the most used word in the Middle East is peace. See, it's the most heard word in Middle East. And I can relate to that because the culture there, as you pass any person, you say, salam. salam upon you, peace upon you, under you, everywhere, and yet there is no peace. You see, there is no peace. You see, and when they say it with great joy. You see, salam alaikum, salam alaikum. Yeah. People feel really good about that. You see, but when Christ said peace, you see, you have peace. Because as he pronounced this, this peace casts out fear. And so in the presence of God, you see, there is no fear. So the presence of God casts out any fear. So we can face things that a person who is not under this peace, under the influence of God, he can never do that, isn't it? He will never be able to do that. You see, I was still sharing with my friends the other day, well, look, when I went as a missionary to North Sudan, they were my friends. They were mostly from the Islamic movement, the Muslim Brotherhood movement. And I came to realize that I was dining and eating with people who once were eating with Osama bin Laden. Just imagine that. the terrorist number one in the world. Just imagine. But it didn't bother me because the context was not really threatening and just like that. And I was not afraid to say, like, I'm a Christian. You see, so you can say you are a Christian. You may not say, I am a servant of God. But what is the difference if you say, I really love God. I really love Jesus. And also they see you that you love Jesus. You see, you wouldn't, your language, your conduct and everything, and your prayers. You see, and it is just important that even, I just remember now, one of the ladies, she was the head of the English departments. And Jazeera University, we visited with Bernard Powers and few Australians from this country. We went for a short-term mission. This lady, she's a professor of English. She was in Saudi Arabia, and then she went back to Sudan. She was at that university, and then she experienced the whole war in West Medina. And then she after a long time, I sent her a text. I did want to know where they were, if they were saved. And so we went through a lot. Please pray for us. That was what she said. Pray for us in Sudan. Always they say to us, and even Bernie Powers and all the groups who went there, because we declared to them we come from Christian really traditions. And so they knew that. And so they were asking us all to pray for them. So Obadiah, this man of God, he was so strong to be able to do what God has determined for him, to bring glory to God. So he fears God. He hid the prophets of God and fed them through severe famine. You see, God was supplying him. And just imagine, because when he went this path, Ahab said to him, go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses. See, even this man, he was thinking of horses and mules, you see? See, and killing people, this man. And then just imagine Obadiah going these directions and to meet Elijah. You see, even where he went, he was able, God was supplying, isn't it? God was supplying for the prophets, for himself. And then Elijah is there. Well, it looks like it's not nice on the other side, isn't it? You see, Ahab, all that he has is killing, is drought, and is so bad. You see, God knows how to care, isn't it? So God cares for his own people. So Ahab did not fear God, but he went on to do all that he wanted to do. And now also, there is this question of good fear. You see, so we fearing harm, something bad to happen to us, is natural to human beings, isn't it? Because we have a situation where this man is going to fear because he was told to go and present yourself to Ahab and tell him that Elijah is here. And he was afraid, you see. But you may ask a question, why is he afraid? And he was not afraid earlier to hide the 100 prophets. You see, is there contradictions like the absence of fear and the presence of fear Maybe you ask yourself these questions. There are some things we fear ourselves. Well, it's natural and also is part of the wisdom, because actually, even when we are driving, we fear that we speed and or we make mistakes. It's dangerous, isn't it? So we don't choose our battles. So let us go to the battles that the Lord Himself determines, because these are the battles that we will win. But if we try to be champions and try just to go and play a role that was not designed for you, that is a disaster. That is not godliness. So today, as I was preparing, this really came through to me. That for me to serve in this way, that doesn't mean this is the only way for me to serve and to bear witness to God. But both, we could see both Obadiah and Elijah. They were both fulfilling the will of God. So you can be at rest today in whatever capacity, whatever the call the Lord God has laid on your life. That is the perfect role that He has designed for you. And whether it's a very small role, whether it is done quietly behind the doors. Because you realize that also the order. When he saw Elijah, he said, "My Lord, my Master." Because Elijah, you see, Prophet Elijah, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, you see. And you know he will be translated into heavens. He will not see death. And so he was called for a greater role, a role that he was going to engage Satan publicly. So that whenever the Lord has called you into a role, and sometimes he calls you into a role that is challenging. And Elijah also, after that, after killing of the 450 prophets, he will be running away for his life. Just see that. Just to say that we are only instruments in God's hand. We are broken vessels. We are fallen creatures saved by grace. And the power lies with God. And he can use us. You see, even despite of our weakness, our limitations, he can display his power through us and his grace and mercy. And he can lead us to accomplish things we would not be able to do in any other way. You see? So Obadiah here and Elijah, they were preparing themselves for something great to happen. But Elijah is going to take really the lead in that. But Obadiah, he did the preparatory. He did all the work in honoring God. He was an instrument to keep God's prophets, God's people, and to feed them. You see, and here he is meeting this man. It was an encouragement to him, even though it was like a surprise to him. But really, it's just a great thing. It's just like meeting a brother, meeting a Christian. You see, we have come out maybe from persecution or something like that. So it's just it's great. So they are just preparing their stage, and they are just telling us that whatever rules we are playing, we are to do it as the Lord dictates to us. And there's no place for comparisons or to look down upon yourself and you think that I'm doing nothing. If you are a child of God, you have a place in His kingdom, and you are not without a mission and without a role. And it's a great role. See? Like Obadiah, his role is to keep alive. You see, that is the heart of God. You see? Yeah. The heart of God in keeping us. That is why we say to him, keep us. And it's God who is our keeper. You see? It's God who keeps. The devil comes to destroy and kill. But Jesus comes to give us life. And in abundance. And so it is okay for us to assess the dangers, the things that we are throwing ourselves into. Obadiah wouldn't want to just to throw himself just like, oh yeah, I will go and tell him. No, he was just like saying it's dangerous. So this section is going to end, because they were just as a conversation between themselves, you see. It's going to end with this greatest testimony. And I think I read somewhere. These sections end with Elijah's oath in the name of the Lord of hosts. That is what he said. Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab." Because that is what he said in verse 1, isn't it? He was telling Obadiah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." The word of the Lord said to him, "Go." I mean, the word of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself." And now he said he's going to present himself. You see? But he said, "This God." And commentator said, the first mention of this title of Yahweh in the book of Kings. It's just, and this verse, this word, this title, this is the commander of the heavenly armies enthroned above the cherubim, who is about to judge the false god. Well, this is our God, the Lord of hosts. And whenever he sends us to do anything, he has all the power to cover us, to equip us, and to prevail in whatever he has called us to do, even in prayers. Like Elijah was a man like us, James tells us. He was a man like us, and then he prayed as he was empowered by God. That was a revelation from God, that you pray to me that I shut heavens. You see? And it happened. You see? And then he prayed again. You see? And it rained 3 years and a half. Just this story is recorded to us in book of James. After how many years? If Christ came 2,000 years ago, and then in Isaiah we are told 700 years before Christ, and then you are thinking about 3,500 years from now. And yet we are being reminded of Elijah being a man like us. What is it calling to us? That you can trust your God. You see, in whatever capacity he has called you to do, he is fulfilling his will, whether by judging others or by bringing blessings to others, so that we can really go on trusting our God. And the most important things here is that we are to fear our God. Because that was the problem of the people there. They didn't fear God. But for those who were fearing him, like this man, Obadiah and Elijah, they were living as if there were no famine, because if you are feeding someone with food and bringing them water, that obviously you are eating and you are drinking, you see. And if you are preparing yourself to go to war, that means you are strong enough, you see, to go to war. You see, so it doesn't matter what is happening around us. You see, even the economy might be getting bad, God will provide for us. You see, when things are getting bad, and we are talking today about the changes and the ungodliness that is prevalent in our society, God can keep us godly and pure. So, fear God and face the enemy, and you will rejoice. So that is what I want to share with you tonight. Let us continue delighting in Christ our Lord, reading his word, praying to him, praying with others, shutting your door and praying and interceding and praying for yourself. Seek and knock and ask. You do that. That was what I was doing last night. See, and we are all to do this. Pray continually. Pray for your needs. Pray for the needs of others. Through all these means, you will be strengthened. You see, and then you will have ears to hear what the Lord is calling you to do. He might say, "Get up, go. There's someone on the streets. Meet him and help him." Fear God and face the enemy. Let us pray.